Chase, Willie, and D-Mates, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. And I have been so excited. 1 o'clock, Thursday. It means we talk to the one and only. He may have the best wardrobe and hair in the business. Elliot Friedman is on the line with us. Elliot, how the heck are you?
I would have to say that is a low bar. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, the NHL.
I'm doing great. I missed you guys. I hope you guys, hope everybody had a great summer.
We did. We did. And look, it's, you know, I think David Poile had a pretty good summer, if you think about it, with his team and what he's done, the moves he's made. What are kind of some of your thoughts as the Predators have won their first two games of the season in Prague? Now they come home to Bridgestone Arena tonight to open against the Dallas Stars. But Nino Niederreiter has made a difference. Ryan McDonagh has made a difference. Kevin Lankinen has made a difference so far early in the season. So what did you make of David Poile's offseason?
Well, like, I'm a big McDonagh guy. So when they pounced and got him, I thought that was great for the Predators. And I really liked watching him and Ekholm together in the two games overseas. So to me, like I said, I'm one of the presidents of the Ryan McDonagh fan club. So when you guys got him, I thought it was a big win. You know, Niederreiter is a really interesting guy. He's a really good player who was one of the players who got squeezed because of the tightness of the cap. But you guys took advantage because you had the room, and I think he's really going to help you. I think the interesting thing about Niederreiter is, like, there are some people who feel that there's more there. I don't know if that's the answer, but he is good enough to be a difference maker in this league. So I like the offseason that you guys had. I think you guys have a really interesting division. You guys have, I think, six really good teams there and two empty calories. And so I think the key is you've got to maximize your nights where you're playing Chicago and Arizona, because someone's going to lose a couple of games to those teams and it's going to cost them a playoff berth. And then it's going to be like for example, tonight, like I think Dallas is a hell of a team. And you guys are going to have a lot of games like that this year because there's a lot of good teams in your division.
Yeah, and that's something we talked about earlier, Elliot, is 2 through 4 is going to be fun to watch because I think, as you said, Dallas is really good, Nashville, Minnesota, St. Louis. So 2 through 5, honestly,
yep,
is where it could be. But I'll start with Minnesota because this is the one that a lot of people are saying could be second. Kaprizov is awesome, but they lost Fiala. They're kind of strapped for cash because of the buyouts, yep, that they have. So I just wonder if that catches up to them at some point this season.
Well, I think the one thing that kind of happened to them last summer that I think really disappointed them was I really thought that they felt they could have an exceptional duo in goal with Marc-Andre Fleury and Cam Talbot. And Cam Talbot was not interested in that, and he got traded to Ottawa. And I think Minnesota is really good. I think they're going to be able to overcome it this year. They've got a lot of good young players. I think Bill Guerin's going to give them a chance before he looks for a score. If one of those guys isn't able to really grasp it, I think he will go out and look for a score. I think that's the one thing they kind of look at to replace Fiala. But if there's one thing I think they really regret, guys, it's that they couldn't keep that Fleury-Talbot tandem together because it would have been dynamite. But, you know, Talbot just didn't see it. It wasn't for him.
Now, Elliot, I asked the guys earlier today because of the back-to-back games that the Preds have with the Stars tonight,
yep,
and then tomorrow. Do you like that they're playing these division games this early in the season?
I do, and the reason I do is that I you know, Derek, I like to see hate early. You know, I don't think anybody should tiptoe into the season. I want to see hate early. As a matter of fact, one of the only real issues I have with the schedule this year, guys, is that there aren't enough rivalry games. Like, I haven't checked your schedule as closely, but I think Calgary and Edmonton, they're only playing 3 times this year. And that I don't like. I know, like, in other leagues it's different, but I think teams that are, like, the true fierce rivals, they should be playing minimum four, if not five times a year. And you can spread them out how you want, but look, like, you're going to have a jack crowd tonight because that's the way it is, but I think you'll be a little extra excited because it's a team like that that you guys really hate.
We're talking to Elliot Friedman, Hockey Night in Canada, 32 thoughts. Elliot, one of the things you guys followed very closely throughout the preseason was the Jason Robertson contract. Such an important player. We've watched him blossom here, and he's had some great games against the Predators. So he's now signed. He's locked in with the Stars. I'm always curious when a guy does miss a little bit of camp, how quick it will be, especially with a new coach, et cetera, for him to hit his stride. That is one thing that's intriguing about when these two games take place, Thursday, Saturday, with Robertson just getting acclimated there.
Yeah, it's funny because last year there were a couple players who missed camp, and I said, it's not really that big a deal because players are in good shape now. They show up ready to go, and I had one of the players in particular say to me, I was wrong about that. He said it is a big deal. Just first of all, you know, players don't, like, you have to fight for what you think is right in terms of a contract, but he said generally most players don't want to miss camp, and they don't want to miss games. That's what you're there for. But he said to me that there was a catch-up, that he was a little bit behind, and he felt it was difficult for him to catch up at the start of the season. Now, Robertson's been there over a week. I assume it's going to be okay. But, you know, I'm the one I'm really curious about is Hague in Vegas, Nick Hague, because he didn't sign until the day before, and he did end up meeting the team in Los Angeles but didn't play. So that's the one I look at more than Robertson. I think he was there soon enough. He's going to be all right.
One hot-button issue here, it just because I think people had really geared themselves up to see Phil Tomasino jump up and be on the second line with Nino Niederreiter and Ryan Johansson. In the compact training camp, it didn't happen. They've sent him to Milwaukee. I'm sure you've seen situations where you've seen it go both ways. A guy goes down, comes back up better. You've probably seen a guy maybe stay up there and struggle. Maybe give us some reference on that and maybe your thoughts on the decision to move a guy down, a first-round pick who's one of their top prospects.
I have a couple of thoughts about it. Number one is you can't fool the players. And what I mean by that is players know who deserves to be on the roster. They know if someone deserves to be there, and they know if someone doesn't deserve to make the team or should be sat out of the lineup. And I think any time you send a message that, okay, we're going to do something here to keep somebody who doesn't really deserve it or somebody who gets beaten out for a spot, you risk the players looking at each other and saying, what's going on here? And I think also when you're trying to set a high bar and a high standard, that is important too. Because players will look around and say, wait a second, like, this guy doesn't deserve to be here. He didn't make the team. He's only here because of his contract, or he's only here because of the someone on the team, like a coach or a GM, drafted him or traded for him. And it can slide. So that's one thing I always look at. If he didn't deserve to make the team, I think teams say he didn't deserve to make it. And we want to send a message that only the 20 or so players who deserve to be in the lineup are here. I think the other thing that happens is, and I always wonder about this, you know, was there a message sent? Was, you know, a player told in the off season, this is what we need to see, and he didn't get there? But also, how is the message sent? Like, Philip, it didn't work right now. This is why it didn't work. And if you fix this, you're going to be back. Like, one of the things I always hate is if a player is sent to the minors, people say to them, or people talk, oh, this is a failure. Like, I think that's a joke. Like, not everybody is ready at the exact same time. And just because he's going to the AHL right now doesn't mean it's a disaster or the kid's a failure. It all depends on his attitude, how it was explained to him. But the bottom line for me is I really feel that if you put players on the team that don't deserve to be on the team, the players know it, and it can affect the perception they have of the organization.
Elliot, you mentioned the unique layout of the Central. Let's look at the West. Most people see Colorado as a heavy favorite. They're the best team. The question is, who's the next best threat? And I feel like you and Jeff Merrick have talked a lot about Edmonton. Do you feel like Edmonton might be the second best team?
You know, I think they have a chance to be. I don't know that I would proclaim anybody. Well, part of the reason we do that, guys, is, you know, we're Canadians, so we have a bias. We want to talk about Canadian teams a little bit. I'm not going to deny that. We do work for Hockey Night in Canada. And it's good for business if the Canadian teams do a little bit better. I worked their game last night against Vancouver. They were down 3-0 early in the second period. And then those two guys, McDavid and Draisaitl, started going, and it was ridiculous. You know, I think we wonder about their goaltending. They signed a new goalie from Toronto, Jack Campbell, and he really battled last night. Like, that was a 3-0 game, and they looked like they were going to get caved in. And he shut the door, and he made some big saves. The thing is, I really believe, guys, I would say maybe 6 or 7, and if I'm 1 or 2 off in that number, I just haven't thought about it. I think there's only about 6 or 7 real difference makers in goal in this league now. And I think you have one in Saros. But I think there's only about 6 or 7 goalies now who are real elite difference makers. So, like, even like Colorado last year, they had a goalie who was solid. I don't think he was a difference maker, but he was solid. And I think a lot of teams now in this league have to make that work. And that's what I see from the guy in Edmonton, Jack Campbell. He doesn't have to be Saros. He doesn't have to be Vasilevsky. He doesn't have to be Shesterkin. He just has to be solid. And if he's that, they're going to be okay. And he was that last night.
How is the mood in Toronto? Elliot, I've heard you. I know you're disappointed that the Jays lost. And then, of course, Montreal steals one late against the Maple Leafs. That not exactly what the Leafs fans had in mind, I guess, to lose to the Canadiens on opening night.
No, it certainly wasn't. And, I'm a big Jays fan. I went to the 2 playoff games, so it's partially my fault. I guess I'm bad luck. But I sat there on the first base side for that collapse against Seattle last Saturday. I still can't believe it happened. Like, it's still pretty amazing. But, yeah, as you can imagine, the response was not muted in Toronto. But I think the thing that really stood out to a lot of us last night was, I don't know if you saw the comments from Sheldon Keefe post-game, the Leafs coach, but it's not just what he said. It's the look on his face. It's the tone in how he said it. Like, sometimes I really find you need to look at the way somebody delivers a message, and he was really intense. Like, for a Game 1 loss, he did not like it. They got clobbered in transition. They gave Montreal three goals, which were caused by a Toronto mistake at the other end of the ice, and they got beaten down the ice. Now, he said he's not making any changes tonight in terms of the lineup, but he expects them to be a lot more careful. Washington's in here tonight. We'll see. But it was the reaction of the coach that said, uh-oh, this is a big deal here, and this is a coach who wants to be on them fast.
Elliot Friedman is with us from Sportsnet. All right, Elliot, real quick. I asked these guys 10 questions earlier involving the Nashville Predators, and I'm not going to hit you with all of them, but some rapid fire. Just, I'm curious of your answer. Forsberg had 42 goals last year. Over under 34.5 for him this year?
Over.
Duchesne had 43.
As a matter of fact, I think you're insulting him with 34.5.
Like, really? Okay. Okay, I think 45 is probably where he's going to go, but Willie talked me down.
34.5. Where do I put my money?
I successfully lowered the bar.
Yeah, Willie lowered the bar there.
He has missed some games.
All right.
Duchesne had 43, 29.5 for him because 30, you know, under 30's kind of been his mark in his career.
You know, I would love to see you go into the dressing room and say, "Hey, you know, Philip, we've got a bet that you're going to score no more than 8 goals after you did last year." Oh, and Matt, your number is 14. Like, just so you know. I really want to see what the reactions to this are.
Heinze might like it because it'll fire him up. You know, maybe I'll piss him off a little
bit.
Over. Okay. 62.5 games played for Saros after he played 67 last year.
I think they would like it to be under, but it's always easier to say that than do it, so I'll go over.
82.5 points for Roman Josi after a historic 96-point season.
Oh, that's a good one. Like, I like that one. That's a really tough one. I don't want his agent calling me. I'm going to say over.
That's a walk-off. Elliot, good to talk to you. Excited to do this every week once again, so we will talk to you next Thursday.
All right, guys. Have yourselves a great week. Great to be back.
Absolutely. Elliot Friedman, Hockey Night in Canada, and Sportsnet every Thursday at 1. It's must-listen-to radio. We'll revisit these 10 questions that we did earlier in the show in case you missed it. Coming up next, Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. But first, Willie has a word about Loan Pronto.
Let's talk Loan Pronto. Loan Pronto has been helping people unlock cash. And if you are looking for cash, you're looking for creative ways to use your money differently, you've got bills to pay, you've got credit card interest rates moving up on you, well, let me introduce you to Loan Pronto because they're ready to help you. They make unlocking your equity easy. They can probably even waive the appraisal. So all you've got to do is give them a call and start the all-digital process. Ask them about the HELOC. Ask them about the refi. 615-499-5780. The HELOC is the direction we went here recently, and it's working really well for us right now. Have them explain it to you because it's pretty simple. And if your home's value, and you know if you live in our listening area, your home's value is likely way up. You can use that cash to your advantage. 615-499-5780 or go to loanpronto.com. It's an equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval.